is we have one of their speakers that we've ported in, and it's cost a lot of money, so I hope you're going to enjoy them. Imported them in from goodness knows where. I better not try to name it. Would anybody like to try to name where our speaker's from?
Escondido.
Who said Escondido?
Escondido.
Escondido. Yes, imported from Escondido. A long way, cost us a lot of money. But it's a person I've loved for so many years. He's old now. His great-grandpa of about half a dozen kids. Absolutely wonderful man. And I'm blessed to have him in my life, even if he does have a wife. I wanted him to start up, because this kid can fix anything. Anything that is broke, he will fix it. And here I am at home on my computer, and you know, I'm certainly not too smart on the computer. I can find maybe where the keys are, and that's it. And the thing is always doing something, you know, to disturb me. And all I have to say is, help! And my keys on my computer start dancing around. Because this young man has my old man, has this old grandpa man, has it so that he can do my computer from his home. That's a blessing to me. Somebody like me who, you know, I'm certainly not capable of helping myself. I can't even have trouble standing up, let alone work on the computer. And that's what this gentleman does. But do you know what he does more than that? He's a wonderful daddy. His children respect him. He's a wonderful grandpa. He loves those kids. Has a tremendous wife who won't get out of the way. And she's beautiful and sweet and wonderful. And that's the man that's going to share his thoughts with us this evening. And I love him dearly, and that's our Michael. Michael Bruce.
Not streaming live today, by the way. But it is being recorded, and it will be on Millie's website if any of you want to hear it again, God forbid. All right. I've labeled this talk, My Evolution as Influenced by Millie, or shall I say, My Evil Evolution. Try and say that three times fast.
Say it again so she can hear it.
My Evil Evolution. My evolution as influenced by Millie.
Oh.
My evolution.
Oh.
That sound better?
I said evil too.
No, not evil. Well, I'm going to try and highlight 20 years of my personal growth as, wow, this glasses really don't help, and share what event or conversation led me to be with you here tonight. But let's start at the beginning. When did I meet Millie? It was about 20 years ago. To be exact, it was 20 years ago back on January 7th of this year. I was invited to come to this church by a very special lady who's now passed. She was my, my father-in-law's wife, Joanne. I don't know if any of you remember Joanne. There's a few people in the back. She talked us into going together, and I always followed along with my wife. And we came into church, but we were warned what to expect. We were told, well, it's a kind of a normal church service. There's singing, and there's, you know, things going on. But the last half hour is really different, a little special. So I was told that they give greetings from spirit, and I was okay with that. It was kind of interesting. I thought, I'll go for that. But I was also told that I would maybe get a message because it would be my first time. Are you videotaping this? It would be my first time, so I'd probably get a message, and I would probably get a capital letter. So I was ready for a capital letter, meaning first name, last name, city, street, something like that. And I was sitting right where Andrea's sitting, at, I believe, right somewhere in that vicinity. And Millie looked at me and she said, would you like to give a message? Would you like to receive a message? And I said, kind of nervously, I said, well, okay, I'm game. She says, well, I'm getting the name Bob. And I was already nervous, and I said, nervously, I said, I get a whole name? And even back then, she said to me, pardon? That's 20 years ago. But actually, yes, I met her 20 years ago, but I almost met her 54 years ago. And I don't know how many of you know that story, but I was born in New Jersey, the Lady of the Lord's Hospital in Camden. Some of you know the story, but Millie used to work there. Millie used to work there, small world. She used to work at that hospital. She was in a different floor, not in the baby birthing section. But she was in the mental health area, where I would go later. But she left there a few years before I did, but that's not the end of the story. The coincidences are that she knew, while she was in New Jersey, she knew a young man and his wife. His name was John Dare. Well, my last name is Dare, and my dad's name was John Dare. So I had to start putting the numbers and the dates together. And that John Dare happened to be married to Joyce Dare. Well, my dad was married to Joyce Dare, way on the West Coast. And I said, that's so strange. And she knew them for years, and it's not the same people. Not by any stretch of the means, but my dad was married to that woman for many years. That was my dad's second wife, not my mother, but my stepmother. So now, what brought to me the church for the first time was a special person. I already said that. I'm on page two. Anyway, I remember developing in the beginning a fondness for Millie, an attraction like a moth to the flame kind of thing. I'd come to Sunday service and Millie wasn't a talker. I was a little bummed, but if Millie was a talker, I had a big smile on my face because it just gravitated towards her. I wanted to hear what she was saying. It just resonated with me, resonated to my core. So whenever she was talking, I was trying to sit up front. And I remember my first circle. We went out to Harmony Grove, and I was told kind of what a circle was like, kind of like a seance, but we went out to Harmony Grove in a hot summer, I think it was August. We went into this nighttime, into this brick building that's probably still standing, and it was all closed in, and it was dark, and there was a red light lamp in the corner. And you remember this stuff like it was yesterday. You should remember your first circle and your first message from this platform. But there was a little lamp in the corner, and everybody got into a circle on the outside edge, and there was barely enough room for all of us, and it was hot in there. And I just remember this. I was brought into the center of the circle, and I got a tune in from a person that I had helped, the family from the person that I had helped when I was in the Air Force. And they were thanking me for how nice I was to this individual. He was an Air Force roommate of mine for a short period of time. And I was taking the thank you, but I was also thinking to myself, I wasn't that nice to him. I thought he was a total pain in the butt. But they were thanking me because everybody else thought he was a pain in the butt, but I was nicer than the average person to him. But then there was a circle about a guy that had been killed in a tragic accident, was beheaded, and that happened to be a relative of a really close friend of mine at the time. And this stuff is just resonating with me because it was like, how do they know this? So anyway, I kept going to follow Millie around, but we couldn't take classes until, because it was like August. Millie didn't have open classes until the following October, or later that year. So we waited till September. Yeah, October when classes were open. We started taking classes up at Monday night. And I think we went to Monday night class up there for how many years? Probably about 13 years. Millie no longer has Monday night class, but she has Tuesday night and Tuesday and Thursday night. But during that time of going to classes and listening to the class lessons, I believe a lot of it rubbed off on me. Now, over the years, I've had contact and exposure with Millie, and I believe that that has made me a better person. While I still have a long way to go, I appreciate the benefits of living spiritually and practice so much of what I've learned in my daily life. And I take comfort in knowing I can ask my spirit guides and angels for help anytime. I may not remember to, and to always do so and wait until the anxiety begins to build before I ask for help. But when I do ask, eventually I find it's easier. And I find it's much easier if I remember to ask in advance. Because I use these angels in my day-to-day work. If I have a frustrating problem to solve, I'll sit there and I'll call on my angels and I'll call on my four Johns, John Dare, John Adler, P. people that I've met through the circles, Johnny Baker and John Fraser. And I'll bring them in, and they just make my life easier and make me the hero. And I'm just so happy I don't have to put them on my timesheet. I'll tell you one story. I was late at night. I was working for a lady who was 99 years old. Her name was Emma Wurstel. She had P.O. Box 1 in Rancho Santa Fe. She had a dryer issue. Now, she was having, you know, incontinence issues. She was bedridden, and she had people taking care of her. And she had issues with memory lapses, but she knew who I was. She kept calling me in, and she'd say hi, hi, Michael, and don't worry, my daughter will pay you, and things like that. But every 3 minutes, she was in some kind of memory loop. So they were taking care of her, and the dryer wasn't working, and they had to wash all these sheets, and it was like 8 o'clock at night. I said, please, angel friends, help me. What's wrong with this dryer? And I was holding on to the screwdriver, and I was just looking at the dryer, and all of a sudden the screwdriver slipped out of my hand and fell behind the dryer. And that never happens, so I pulled the dryer forward like this, and I looked back there, and something lit up back there. I saw like a light on this back panel, so I pulled the dryer out, opened that panel up, and just one of those little wires, those 220-volt wires, had come loose. So I was able to unplug it, put that wire together, put it back in, and thank you, angels. Moved right along. And they were very happy, and I was thankful. So those kind of God stories continue to come through me. Now, I also receive messages which come to me likely more like thoughts or inner voices. And I receive these messages throughout my normal day and not just my work day. And sometimes they're humorous. Now, I remember one particular time, and this ties into the movie, if you've ever seen the movie Parenthood. There's a funny scene I love where the grandmother at the end is talking about how life is a roller coaster. She loves the roller coaster because it goes up and it goes down, and she likes that. And she was sounding very profound, and the daughter, I think her name was Strasenberg or Emma, whatever, she says to Steve Martin, she says, my mom, she's just so wise. And the mother goes outside, and Steve's like, oh, yeah? Because he's doubting it, because he knows the mother. If she's so smart, why is she getting into the neighbor's car? So it's about a year after we met Millie, and we started getting familiar with the thought pattern, started being attuned and aware of our blessings and our inner voices, when we were driving down the road through Poway. And I was doing math quizzes with the kids. We have 4 boys. I don't know if you know them, but they're 5 years apart, between the 2 older and the 2 younger. We're doing general math questions, and Andre was going on about how smart the oldest one was, TJ. And I said, oh, yeah? If he's so smart, and I pointed at the sign at the restaurant, how come he thinks that's Clam Digger? And TJ looked at me and goes, how did you know? I don't know where the thought came to my mind, but how I was reading his mind, but I believe that my angels have a sense of humor. Another example was during an evening circle at Millie's place. We were doing an involved circle of trying to bring in answers to the world's problems. We were looking at the energy sources or something like that. We had a circle at Millie's, and I was getting this message. I got a number and a letter combination of 34B, and I said it. But I didn't get any confirmation that it meant anything, and I was thinking to myself and asking the angels, what is this about? What does this mean? It's a plane seat. Maybe she's going to go on a plane trip or something like that. Well, I had no confirmation, nothing. I got a dead end there, so I let it go. But later on, I found out that I had just told everybody in that circle that lady's bra size. My angels have a sense of humor, and that's what she was thinking about, so she wasn't thinking about anything else. She was wondering what I was getting. And this goes on. She was distracted, and I found it humorous now, and I can look back and say, not only was it humorous, but it was memorable. Now, I like to think the angels are practicing and learning to, and learning how to get through. And the information comes with innocent intent. Like the time Millie asked me to tune in on a lady while we were at breakfast at Carol's up in Escondido after a Monday night class. There was a young lady there that wasn't part of the circles, wasn't part of our classes, but she says, tune in on Pam. And I started tuning in, and I started bringing her all this purple colors. I'm seeing purple this, purple that, purple that. Well, she wasn't giving me a smile and being, yeah, yeah, yeah. She was like backing away. And I was like, what's going on? She says, he's describing my bedroom. And I think she was a little nervous at what all I was seeing. I'm glad I didn't mention all the leather. Of course, I prefer the unique imagery, which is a little less personal and still humorous, like being in a circle at Annie Baker's one time. We go out there in the summertime and camp out and have nighttime circles, and I get imagery like kind of like Phyllis DeMont, if you guys know her. My imagery would be a little different. I pictured someone eating a banana with a fork, and I thought that was kind of humorous, and somebody had said, yeah, that was me. I just love that. Phyllis would say something like, someone sat on something and it hurt their butt or something. And I look for the funny stuff. Anyway, as you know, yes, I know Millie and I continue to learn from her. But you may wonder how I got here tonight. Well, I was talking with Millie and I happened to say something which she mentioned would make a nice talk for Wednesday night. And it's been 13 years since I last talked here. So if I keep this up, mark your calendars, I'll be back in 2030. Anyway, we were talking about my work and how I help people in various ways, and the conversation turned to how some companies tend to take advantage of clients, because I'm in the home repair business and I'm in, you know, various consulting modes because of my years of experience. So some of these companies tend to take advantage of their clients and they try and upsell them or sell them stuff they don't need or flat out lie to them. And I said to Millie that these companies, these employees, are creating bad karma and they're deceiving and lying to their clients. And I spoke of a certain named company, a big name company, and I'm not going to name their name now in case this gets publicized, but this one employee came up to this client of mine, and she's also a close friend, and she's about, I would guess, 68 years old and a little short fire plug, an import from another country with a harsh accent. And she asked them to come in and work on her shower head. Her shower flow rate was really slow, and she had some other issue with a dripping kitchen faucet. And the guy didn't have the parts. And I'm telling you, he's a big truck, you know, all the stuff on there. And he charged her for the time it took to go get the part and come back and put it in. And the bill was like $500 for a slow shower and the other issue with the dripping water faucet. And then, after she paid the bill begrudgingly, he said, he's sort of looking around and says, well, I think you need a new water heater. Because of blah, 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 I started listing all these technical reasons. Well, you need a water, it could blow up, it could leak, it could do all this stuff. And he started using fear tactics. And she knew better. She knew her water heater was only 2 years old. And that's what a scumbag this guy was, only 2-year-old water heater. And she knew that that's it, get out of my house. And she told me about it. And then she asked me other questions from then on and found a drip under her sink and things like that. But, I mean, I can't be everywhere. But when I was talking to Millie about this, I said that it happens frequently and that how much it bothers me and that I would, you know, do what I can to personally prevent that from happening as much as possible, because I tend to inject myself into a client's situation when they're dealing with contractors and other repair people. I kind of like put my ear in there and I listen. I act like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm over here, you know, touching the paint on the wall or something like that. I'm acting like a painter and I'll listen. And sometimes I'll inject right then and say, no, what he's telling you is not the truth. And I'll confront the person. And I'll, you know, do it in a very, very, what I would call it, I use the word over here that's pretty good, credible, a credible way, not being rude, and send that person on their way and help the person out. But I've saved people as much money and time and frustration as I can imagine. And I went on to talk about how I'm not in for the big score. I'm not in for the huge payday. I don't go out for getting a large cash payment or insane profits. And I'm more comfortable with a decent wage for my services that I render. Spencer knows that, right, Spencer?
Yeah. You just saved me about $6,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, because somebody else wanted to come in and do one of these, what do you call it?
They wanted to cut my bathroom.
Yeah, but you had a term for it, something earth, scorched earth. They want to do a scorcher to fix a little drain leak that I fixed. Anyway, so I would be more than happy just to see, yes, I need the money to, you know, survive, but I also, I go more for the gratitude and the thanks and the appreciation for a job well done. And some call that a product of my upbringing. This is, gets to be a situation where I was told I lacked proper acknowledgement and love as a child, needing to be the hero, always wanting that pat on the back. Hey, but when you're given lemons, you try and see the benefit in sharing the lemonade. I'm getting to the part that probably will grab Millie. She mentioned, as she often does, that I don't know how lucky I am, having all the skills that I have and being able to do the things that I do, and how I'm able to help so many people. So I responded with, well, when she goes on and on like that, it's good for my ego, but I do sometimes cut her off and say, look, I'm not just doing what I do for this life. I'm doing what I do now to build up points for the next life and the hereafter and thereafter. So what I'm doing is I'm making deposits in an account which I get to take with me when I die. You can't, they say you can't take it with you when you go, but this type of deposit you can. So thanks to Millie for my evolution. I've raised my vibration, and I thank Millie from the bottom of my heart for her contribution to mankind. To borrow a line from As Good As It Gets, Millie has made me want to be a better man. Thank you, Millie, and thank you all for listening.